Hey friends, welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Do you feel like your church's facility could be preventing growth? Or are you frustrated or maybe even overwhelmed at the thought of a complicated or costly building project? Are the limitations of your church building becoming obstacles to the path of expanding your ministry? Have you ever felt that your church could reach more people if only the facility was better suited to meet the needs of your community? Well, our friends over at Rise Point have been there. They are former ministry staff and church leaders, and they understand how to prioritize and help lead your church to a place where the building really is a ministry multiplier rather than a ministry limiter. Licensed all over North America, their team of architects, interior designers, and project managers have the professional experience to help you and your church move the mission forward. Listen, I trust Rise Point. You can trust them with your project too. Check them out over at risepoint.com/unseminary. That's risepoint with an E.com/unseminary. While you're there, pick up their free downloadable resource for your team. It's called 10 Things to Get Right Before You Build. Reach out to them today. The earlier into the project, the better. Again, that's risepoint.com/unseminary. That's risepoint with an E.com/unseminary today.
Are you looking for practical ministry help to inform and inspire your leadership?
Do you have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world?
Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of other leaders in pursuit of stuff you wish they taught in seminary. Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast, presented by CDF Capital, helping churches grow.
Visit them at cdf.capital/unseminary.
Well, hey friends, welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. So glad that you have decided to tune in. Really looking forward to today's episode. Really pumped for this because I want to kind of pull back the curtain a little bit, give you an insider scoop, kind of let you in on something that's been happening in the background that unless you're paying attention, you will not know about. Listen, I'm just back from a two-day in-person retreat for the Church Growth Incubator. Now, you might be wondering, there's a lot of words there that you don't understand. So what is the Church Growth Incubator? It's a small cohort that I run for senior leaders of churches around 1,000 in size. And we're working on growing our churches by increasing invite culture. We do two calls per month, and we meet for a year, and we do two in-person retreats during that year. And we just got back from 2 days in Southern California. We were at Mariners Church there in Irvine. It was a great time. We learned a lot. We had a lot of fun. We laughed. We learned. We, you know, made new friends, that sort of thing. It was great. But today what I want to do is pull back the curtain on, you know, really and give you a bit of a sample of some of the things that we talked about. You see, at each one of these in-person retreats, one of the promises of the in-person retreats is that we will have a guest coach. This is someone who I really deeply value and who, you know, I believe just has a lot to offer to churches, and we get them to come and spend some time with us. And the amazing thing at this retreat was we didn't, in the past we've had Jenny Catron, Carrie Newhoff actually was at our last retreat as well. But this time around, did we not only had just one guest coach, we actually had two, which was amazing. So good. And so what I wanted to do is to take a few minutes and kind of unpack some of the lessons. Now, friends, this is 2 days of conversation. Obviously, we can't unpack everything, but I wanted to give you a bit of a sample of it because I think these are some lessons that you could take and apply into your church. So the first guest was Phil Ling. He's from The Giving Church. If you don't know Phil, you really should check out his website, thegivingchurch.com. Phil has helped churches and ministry raise $1 billion. That's a B, billion with a B, which is, you know, just incredible. And the thing I love about Phil, well, both of our guests, well, it's all the people that we have come, but particularly these two, these guest coaches that we had this time around, is they are in the corner of churches like you. They really do want to help churches. They don't see the church as just like a market. Sometimes you interact with people who have services or provide coaching to churches. And frankly, to me, they kind of make my skin crawl a little bit. And Phil definitely doesn't do that. He's in your corner. He is there to help and help you particularly increase generosity. And there's really two things I want to talk through. First, We had a whole conversation around the three things or the three actions that we're doing as we're engaging with our people to try to, you know, from a generosity point of view, what are the kind of three outcomes that we're looking for? And he talks about win, lift, and keep. Win, lift, and keep. So win, this is all about gaining donors. So the question for you, if I was to sit in your corner and Phil was to sit in your corner, would be to ask the question, what are you doing to win new donors? You know, we got talking about weekends and how oftentimes, man, the weekend is a great place to find new donors, people who haven't given to your church before. Phil was talking about the fact that 45% of the people in that give to churches in America give less than $200 a year. But those are the people who give. There's a ton of people, including folks in your church, who don't give anything. And so the question is, what strategies are you applying towards winning new donors? And we'd spend a lot of time, effort, and energy thinking about that, thinking about what could we do to move people from not giving to giving. The reality of it is that from getting them to go from not giving anything to giving something, man, that is a phase shift. That is a significant shift. And if we could see that kind of thing happen, it would make a huge difference. So win, that's the first. The second is lift. This really is about this idea of increasing revenue from people. We had a fantastic conversation around what can we do to see people's increasing generosity. Obviously, you're feeling this pressure. I'm feeling this pressure as the cost of things become more expensive. We need to also continue to think about what can we do to increase the revenue that comes from our people. We talked about even the value of something like a quarterly vision report where we get back out to our people regularly to communicate to them about how their giving is being put into action, what difference it's making to the vision, how it's pushing the church forward. But the question for you is, what can you do to increase revenue? This is particularly difficult in this age when, you know, one of the downsides, potential downsides of us moving everyone to digital giving, recurring giving, is unless we interrupt with a regular kind of outreach to them, people won't necessarily increase their giving. So what are you doing to lift their giving? And then thirdly, keep. So it's win, lift, keep. What can we do to show appreciation? How are we keeping the donor? We obviously know that it's easier to keep a donor than to find a new donor. And this is an area, frankly, I think that many of our churches are lagging behind. We lag behind our nonprofit brothers and sisters when it comes to showing appreciation. And I think we often think of it as in a very kind of extreme way. We're either saying, hey, we need to be putting brass plaques on everything everywhere across the entire church, which is kind of goofy and dumb. We don't want to do that. Or we don't want to do anything at all. There's got to be other ways to show appreciation. This could be about gathering those folks together. We talked about the fact that particularly the senior pastor, time with the senior pastor is a great commodity. And how can you use that to show appreciation to those people that are giving to your, you know, to your church? So we talked a lot about this, but the questions I would have for you, from Phil's coaching from the Giving Church around, you know, the three actions that we're taking when it comes to generosity: win, lift, keep. But then we also had a conversation around the three rooms, kind of thinking about what kind of communication happens in various rooms. We talked about the big room, the medium room, and the small room. So the big room, the weekend, this is really about participation. It's about trying to get more people to give at some level. It's about driving high percentage of your people to engage on a regular basis. Participation is the win in the big room. It's actually not about revenue or big numbers. We talked about within like a capital campaign, when it gets to that public phase, really what that is all about. Once you get to the public phase, it's just about participation. It's just about saying, hey, what can we do to get as many people in on this? Then the medium room, what do we mean by the medium room? This is this is the kind of tribes or small groups or volunteer huddles, that sort of things. These would be segmenting your community up into smaller bite-sized communities. And really the question there is about how we can engage donors and really to speak to their specific needs, to understand what is it that that kind of donor, what are they looking for? And then how are we packaging up what we're doing in a way that is gaining their, is helping them kind of get more plugged into the church, is helping them get more plugged into what's happening. And so you divide groups up into various, into smaller, medium-sized rooms, and then you communicate specifically to them. So you might get, young parents together and talk about the kids' needs and talk about what difference, the church is making in the kids' point of view and how their giving makes a difference to the kids in their community. And then finally, the small room, really one-on-one. And I think this is one of those areas. We talked a lot about this in our coaching sessions around coaching lead pastors, particularly to have one-on-one conversations with donors. And we talked a bunch about how to do that, best practices, that sort of thing. And really, the overarching lesson here is the largest checks come from the smallest rooms. And so we've got to figure out a way to get in front of people on a regular basis, even if that's, say, 50, one a week, to get in front of those people on a regular basis. And that is more about partnering with people than presentation. So think partnership, not presentation. It's about sketching out on a piece of paper where the church is going and asking for their input, asking those people to come along. So we talked a lot about the three rooms. So big room, medium room, small room. So Phil Ling, super honored to have Phil with us. What an just incredible gift for the Church Growth Incubator in-person retreat. Honored to have him with us. But like I said, although we only really say that we'll have one, coach or guest coach at these in-person retreats, we ended up having two this time. Extra value. We had Greg Curtis. He is the director of assimilation. Greg has been on the podcast in the past. He's a dear friend. You'll be hearing more about him in the future. He's actually got an offering coming up that I want to make sure you know about. But he is my assimilation Sherpa. What do I mean by that? He is the person that I point to when it comes to how are we developing an engagement pathway to get people connected, to go from new here to new volunteer. That new here to new volunteer engagement pathway is critically important. And how are we getting people plugged in? And, our time with Greg was second to none. Incredibly helpful. We got the whiteboard out and we're working through some very specifics around people's individual kind of concerns and comments and, thoughts on what's happening in their community from an engagement or assimilation point of view. But one of the things that Greg talked about in his kind of presentation portion, he had this kind of new assumptions discussion, which was new assumptions about assimilation. And there are five of these that jumped out. There's a lot more than we talked about, but there are five of these that I thought might be particularly interesting for us to talk about on the podcast to do. And so the first one is this: no one can make a disciple out of an unconnected person. So we, connection is the first part of the discipleship process. If people don't get connected to our church, they won't get discipled. And we might think that connection is like a nice to have, but it actually is a need to have if we're thinking about discipling people. So really the first step, no one can become a disciple. You can't make a disciple out of someone who's unconnected. And so if you have a heart for making disciples, really your first step is how do we get people connected? And the reason why that is because discipleship at its core is it's life on life. It's about people seeing other folks who are following Jesus and trying to get a sense of, hey, what is it like to follow Jesus and learning from those people. So number one, no one made it a disciple out of an unconnected or underconnected person. Number two, just making Christians more Christian is not discipleship. Wow, that was one of those like, bam, like, mic drop moments. Just making Christians more Christian is not discipleship. I loved Greg's push, and this is really one of the hearts of Eastside. We want to be the kind of church where unchurched people are getting connected. We are not trying to sheep steal. We're not trying to get people from other churches. We're trying to connect people who don't know Jesus. And so Discipleship is about connecting with un-Christian people, people who do not follow Jesus, and helping them take steps towards Jesus. It's not about taking Christians and making them more Christian. Man, what a mic drop moment. And we had a whole conversation around, okay, what are we doing particularly to connect unchurched people? How can we work to ensure that we connect unchurched people to our church? And what can we do to ensure that our assimilation processes are biased towards connecting unchurched people? So love that. Number two, just making Christians more Christian is not discipleship. All right, number three, connection could be taken for granted in previous generations. Connection could be taken for granted in previous generations. We have a whole conversation around, you know, in previous generations, whether that was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, this idea of connecting with people and the church being a place where you could connect, where you could make relationship, that was maybe taken for granted before. And this is really an accelerating issue. You know, this is true today. I would say it was true 5 years ago, but it's more true today and will be more true 5 years from now. We can't take connection for granted anymore. We've got to take an active kind of in the driver's seat, helping our people get connected, building systems to help them get connected, building relationships, environments, steps, clearly thinking about how are we going from one step to the next, thinking about the places where they might fall through the crack, so that we don't take it for granted. We need to you know, work hard at this. It's not the kind of thing that can just be taken for granted. So that is number three. Number four, number three was connection could be taken for granted in a previous generation. Obviously can't be taken for granted now. Number four, disconnection is the greatest obstacle to mission fulfillment in your church. Disconnection is the greatest obstacle to mission fulfillment in your church. Ultimately, you know, our mission goes forward the more people we get connected. The more people we get connected to serving, the more people we get connected into groups, the more people that get connected even just as new here guests, more connection drives the mission forward. If people are disconnected, then your mission is not going to happen. Connection is not secondary to the mission. It is primary to your mission. It is primary to what we're doing in our churches. And so we shouldn't be relegating connection or our strategies for connection down, you know, to maybe giving that to, you know, administrative people, or giving that to people who that are maybe lower down in the org chart. It needs to be at the highest levels of concern in our organization. Disconnection is the greatest obstacle to mission fulfillment in our church. And then finally, number five, it takes a Sherpa mindset towards connection. It takes a Sherpa mindset towards connection. So, you know, Greg has built his entire coaching organization called Climbing the Assimilayas. This idea of, you know, we are helping people. And what are Sherpas? You know, he's got all these great statistics about Sherpas. Sherpas help people climb Mount Everest. They have, they're built for that trend. They're constantly, or that part of the track, they're constantly starting at base camp and peak, taking people to the peak, and then going back to the base camp and taking to the peak. They literally have more developed lungs to be able to operate at such high level consistently, breathing thinner air, but moving people to those peaks. And really, that's what our role is in connection. Our role is to literally help people hand over hand, help them be connected. It's about being a Sherpa. So again, we had lots of conversation around what that looks like in our context, but I loved what Greg had to say. Again, director of assimilation from Eastside Church, Assimilation Sherpa, helping so many churches connect so many people. Well, friends, our two-day in-person retreat for the Church Growth Incubator was just, it was a wild success. If you're a church of 1,000 or around 1,000, I like to say 1,000-ish, and you want more information about Church Growth Incubator and want to learn about our upcoming in-person retreat or those two calls we do a month, we're seeing actual results from churches. Churches are growing in this. the ones that buckle down and apply what we're talking about, man, they're seeing results. We had all kinds of other stuff at this retreat, including a done-for-you resource that really is about increasing attendance at Easter this year. We rolled that out last week. We also rolled out a brand new tool to keep the front door visible. So one of the problems in our churches is if you don't see the front door, you can't understand it. Now, oftentimes our staff are just thinking about the back door because they can see it so clearly. But how can we keep the front door visible? And we came up with a brand new tool for that. And we had some fun and, you know, went out on Duffy boats and did a bunch of other stuff. It was a great retreat. Thanks so much, friends. Thanks for being a part of Unseminary. If you haven't had a chance to pick up a copy of my most recent book, Unlocking Your Church's Invite Culture, you can do that at Amazon today. The book is out, so you can go and pick it up today. It released this week, earlier this week. All right, friends. Well, thanks so much. Thanks for being a part of Unseminary, and we'll talk to you next week. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to the Unseminary podcast. Drop by unseminary.com for more helpful resources for you and your team. There you will find articles, online courses, and so much more. Unseminary, stuff you wish they taught in seminary. Presented by CDF Capital. Visit them at cdf.capital/unseminary.